Design. It's time.
From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show.
Today, we're going to talk about item number 14 in the Effective Java Book by Joshua Block. For those of you that are just joining us now, every once in a while, we do a small little mini fragment episode, and some of these fragment episodes are based around the Effective Java book, again, by Joshua Block. This book is packed full of great information for every single Java developer out there, has a bunch of patterns and practices that you should follow and implement to be a good Java developer, and our goal here is just to relate this to Android development and talk about each of the items as we come across them. So today, we'll talk about item number 14. So without further ado, let's get to it. A lot of things here on the Fragmented Podcast would not be possible without the help from our sponsors. We're able to put out an episode almost every single week because we have this help. Some of these topics that we talk about are very easy for us. Kaushik and I deal with them on a day-to-day basis. Other things, we actually have to hop in and do a little bit of research, sometimes hours of research, to make sure that the show sounds put together and sounds professional. And without these sponsors, some of these things wouldn't be possible. They help us, you know, get some of that time back so we can actually do these things. And so today we'd really like to thank one of our sponsors for that, and that's Rollbar. I don't know about you, but if you've ever dealt with user errors before out in the field, it can be really frustrating. Those users say, well, I'm getting this error. You can't replicate it locally. And you're really wondering, how do they do it? You've taught them maybe how to download logcats, send those to you. You're trying to see how the errors are happening on their device. You're getting the reproduction steps. Nothing really seems to work. The great thing about Rollbar is it tracks errors on the client side, on Android, iOS, whatever, and as well as on the server. So maybe you're having an error that only occurs when there is a particular type of environment going on. There's like a particular state that your app or the server is in. Rollbar can help capture when those errors are happening, and then you can actually easily trace them. And as in last week's episode, Kaushik talked about RQL, and that's Rollbar Query Language. So you can actually filter into that data. It's very strong, super stuff, great out there. Again, like I said, the other cool thing is it tracks the server side. Just recently, I had to help a client get set up for some error tracking. And I set them up with Rollbar, actually, because it was so easy to use, and it's actually my preferred error tracking at this point in time. The great thing is we immediately integrated the alerting into Slack, so immediately we were able to see any errors that popped up before any clients or any customers were able to actually say, hey, this is the problem that's happening. They were able to push an update out to the server. And anytime we ran into any issue on the Android client, we were able to identify those real quickly as well and push out an update as fast as possible. Now, some of the customers include Heroku, Twilio, Kayak, Instacart, Zendesk, Twitch. There's a whole bunch of humongous folks out there that are using this. Perhaps it's something you want to give a shot as well. It's easy to get up and get started in minutes. Now, we do have a special offer here for the Fragmented listeners. If you go to rollbar.com/fragmented, sign up and you'll get that Bootstrap plan for free. So again, go ahead and go to rollbar.com/fragmented to get that Bootstrap plan. Thanks again, Rollbar. Item number 14 in the Effective Java book states, in public classes, use accessor methods, not public fields. Now, I think one of the key words here is in public classes. So keep that in mind, in public classes. We're not talking about private classes. We're not talking about package private and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about public classes. So now some folks are tempted to create, some type of data object that has, instead of, accessors and mutators. And if you're not familiar with that term, again, accessors are, getters and mutators are setters. So instead of creating getters and setters, they just, make their fields public. So they'll have a public value and they'll just kind of access it that way. Now, one of the reasons that this is looked upon, and as the book states here, that it's looked upon bad by some of the hardline object-oriented programmers out there, is because it doesn't offer the benefits of encapsulation. You can't change that representation of the data without actually changing the API. You can't enforce invariance. You can't take just different auxiliary actions when that field is accessed. So there can be a bunch of problems that you can encounter when you expose this, these values as public fields. Now, I would have to go on a personal note, kind of agree with them that when it comes to public classes, if a class is accessible outside of its package, you should provide some type of getter, you know, or accessor method, depends on how you want to say it. Now, this allows you to basically preserve some flexibility around that class's internal representation. Now, if for some reason your class does expose a public field, well, basically all hope of changing its representation is lost in the client code that is going to be using that public class. You know, again, a public field or a public method is part of the API that you're using. So if you're building a library, if you make something public, that's going to be used by people that are going to be out in the world using your library. So you need to think hard and long about, should this thing be public? And if it's a field, well, you're kind of tied to that. And if for some reason you'd realize later, like, ooh, I need to change that because of these problems, well, you have all these folks out there that may be using that public field right now. So you're probably going to want to think about encapsulating it with some type of accessor, some type of getter method. And that's exactly what item 14 here is saying. Now, the effective Java book dives in here and says the main reason, again, is to preserve the class's internal representation of that data. And so you can have some flexibility in how it's going to work if you need to change it. Now, there is a flip side to this coin, which everyone's probably waiting here on the tip of their tongue to say, is that if that class is package private or it's within a private nested class, there's nothing really inherently wrong with exposing its data fields. You know, of course, assuming that they do a good job of describing, you know, any type of data or abstraction provided by said such class. Now, the reason why this is, you know, usually all right is because, well, one of the things is it generates less visual clutter per se. So you got less code lying around than the typical accessor method approach. I'm sure you've seen if you have 10 fields in your class and then for some reason you generate the getters and setters using something like Android Studio or IntelliJ, all of a sudden you have your class explodes from 15 lines of code all the way out to 30, 40, 50 lines of code, depending upon your code and so forth and what it generates. So you could have a larger set of code that you may have to maintain. But if it's private or package private, then you could, and it's all right to do it, you can go ahead and set those fields to public. Now, one of the reasons why it's okay to do this in a private class or, you know, inner private class or a package private is because that client code, which is maybe your library or whatever, is tied to that class's internal representation and it's confined to that package containing that class. If you need to change something in that class is desirable, you can make the change without touching any of the outside available API. So you could change something internally without having to worry about what it's going to do on the to the public API. So you're not changing maybe a method name or signature or anything like that. That could be a breaking change. However, you still do have to be careful about maybe what you're doing to the data because you could be changing the expectation of what's happening. So if for some reason you're changing a value when another method is called, you need to, of course, make that notated any updates inside of your API. Please note, you've probably seen different classes in Java that actually completely violate this advice from the effective Java book. And a couple of them are like the point class in Java and the dimension class that's also in Java. And apparently, according to the book here, is that there is internals of the dimension class that are exposed and it actually results in serious performance problem that is still with Java today, apparently. Now, I haven't dug into this exact issue. This is just inside of the effective Java book. But Joshua Block is explaining that, look, Java has actually suffered some problems from this and they're realizing it. And so he's providing the advice to go ahead and provide that public accessor method to help you fix these problems or alleviate some of these situations that the existing Java classes have run into. There's also another caveat to that too, which again, a lot of folks out there that are really into the immutable data types are probably like screaming at me right now and saying, well, it's never a good idea for a public class to expose fields directly. It's usually less harmful if those fields are immutable. So you can't change that representation of the class, of that data, because it's immutable. Once I set the value, it's immutable. So if we're going to expose this, you know, maybe we have a class called time and there's two variables and they're hour and minute. We could set those as public final int hour and public final int minute. We could then set those inside of the constructor because that's where they're going to be set. And you'd pass those values in when you create an instance of the time class. And so you'd say new time, you'd pass in the hour and the minute. And at that time, those public fields would then be instantiated. There are no setter methods. These are final fields, final public final fields. So you cannot change them. So in that case, the class guarantees that each instance represents a valid time and something's not going to be changed. Now, in summary, item number 14 states that public classes should never expose mutable fields. Of course, there are going to be some caveats to that, such as inter-private classes and package private classes. And also if those, maybe those fields are not going to be mutable. So you may be setting them through the constructor and there's no way to change those values. Again, we really hope that this helps you. Please pay attention to the next item, which is item number 15. We're going to be talking about minimizing mutability. This is a huge topic in Android right now. There's a bunch of libraries such as AutoValue and you name it. We'll talk about these in the next fragment covering minimizing mutability. Until next time, see you then. Hey, you need to track your errors, right? You need it to be easy and fast. Go to rollbar.com/fragmented. You'll get the Bootstrap plan free for 30 days. It's really easy. Start tracking your errors. Make your life a lot easier because I know when I installed it, it made my life a whole bunch easier. Again, that's rollbar.com/fragmented.
That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmentedpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.